How Do We Find God? Elder Almasan. Almasan. Conference Report. October 1951. Pages 93-95. My brethren and sisters, something over a year ago when Sister San and I boarded the Great Ocean Liner to return to our homes from Europe, the news was flashed to the passengers that Harry Lauder, the Scotch comedian, had just died. We read in the paper the next day something about Mr. Lauder. I recall now that he lost his only son in the Battle of the Marne in World War I. Lauder was heartbroken, he was inconsolable, and he grieved much. After a week or two we received word from the military authorities that he might visit the gravesite of his boy, bear it over in France. Thereupon, with some of his friends, Harry Lauder crossed the channel and went to the cemetery where his son lay buried beneath the sod of France. The little group with Mr. Lauder stood around the graveside. Someone in the group said in a whisper, "I wonder if God weeps when such laddies fall." Harry Lauder stepped forward. He looked down at the grave of his boy and said to those assembled there, "When a man has been struck as I have, there are three roads open to him. One road leads to depravity and drink, another road leads to despair and suicide, a third road leads to God. I am determined at this moment to take the road that leads to God." He forgot all about his commercial engagements, and he volunteered his services to the British and American armies and began to sing his Scotch melodies and to tell his stories to the British and American soldiers. Unselfish service. After all, brethren and sisters, how do we find God except in the service of our fellow men? I know from actual experience and observation that the leaders of this church are unselfish in their service and in their devotion. I was greatly impressed this morning when they announced the additions to the general authorities of the church. For more than 10 years now I have leaned heavily upon my friend and associate, Marion Giromney. As a result I have come to love him and to depend upon him, and when I went over to Europe, it was Brother Romney with whom I had correspondence relative to the distribution of welfare supplies in the countries across the sea, and together he and I and others have sat in council many times. I thought of these men who have been called to be assistants to the quorum. I knew President George Q. Morris for many years when he led the great MIA movement. He used to come to our stake when my chief responsibility was with that organization. I met Brother Stainer Richards 40 years ago, in Newcastle, England, where he was serving as a missionary. I have also met the other brethren. Brother L. Ray L. Christensen lives in my hometown, the place I call home, and the place I visit occasionally as opportunity permits. I know something about his work in the Logan Temple and in the East Cache Stake of Zion. I can truthfully say he is a man of God. I have visited the Stakes of Zion with Brother John Longdon. I have heard him preach the gospel, and I have heard him sing the gospel, as he can do. Brethren and sisters, the church is growing and expanding. It has never gone forward at a more rapid pace than it is at this moment. The barriers which were raised against it at one time are crumbling, and we are permitted to preach the gospel in the lands of the free, a great church. Just before leaving London, I attended a district conference. At the close of the morning session, a man who had been sitting in the audience came to the front, in a loud tone of voice, so everyone could hear. He said, "I resent the audacity of your claims," and he followed it up with these words, "You refer to yourselves as a great church. It isn't great," he said. "You have only a membership of 1 million. I belong to a church that has a membership of 250 million. Then a young man stepped forward. He was a missionary of the church in the British mission. Calmly he stepped up to the man and said, "Well, from a standpoint of numbers yours is a great church, perhaps the greatest church amongst all Christian denominations. But," he said, "I recall that at one time the primitive church which was established by the Lord Jesus and the 12 apostles was but a small group. The Savior entrusted his gospel message to a very few people, most of them unlearned but very humble." Then the young elder continued, "That primitive church, though small in numbers, was nevertheless a great church. It was great in its missionary endeavor. It was great in its calling to preach the gospel to the civilized world of the day. There is something in a church that makes it great besides its numbers. Work to go forward. I frequently think of that circumstance. God's work will go forward in the earth. I am sure it will never be weaker than it is today. It will grow in strength and in influence until this gospel of the kingdom has been preached as a witness in all the world, and until every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is the Christ. May we, you and I, assist in this great enterprise, and may we work out our salvation in fear before our Heavenly Father. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen."